Take your Bible and open to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. So we're at this interesting time now. You know, we got Pastor Nate here, and he's going to be working in Jude, and him and I are going to be trading back and forth on Sundays for a little bit. But I'm going to continue my study in Genesis because I'm, you know, pretty well into that. So I'm going to continue preaching on Genesis, and then when Nate gets up here, Pastor Nate, he'll do Jude. So today we're in Genesis chapter 24, and the title of my message is Provision, Provision. And so we're going to be covering verses 45 through 59. 45. So I hope you have a Bible open. We have black pew Bibles under every single chair. So if you don't have a Bible with you, grab that black pew Bible and turn to page 17. The verses will be on the screen behind me, but I would love for you to have a Bible open because I often speak of other verses, and you're going to want to be able to look at those and check those out. So that's where we're going to be, 45 through 59. Now, here's where we are in history and time, and then I want to give a few explanations of what we're going to be talking about, and then we'll get right into the text. So we're at this point in history where Sarah, the mother of Isaac, the wife of Abraham, has passed away. She lived to be 127 years of age, and she dies. And so 3 years go by before where Abraham is going to try and find a wife for his son Isaac. The name Isaac means laughter, and he was the son that was given to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, when she was 90 and he was 100 years of age. But now she's passed away, so that means 37 years have passed by where Sarah got to enjoy her son Isaac, but then she passes away. Abraham's going to live to be 175, so he's got 35 more years of life left in him. But where we're picking up, Isaac is now 40 years old, 40 years old. And so Abraham has been in the land of Canaan roughly for 65 years. He left where he was from, Ur of the Chaldeans, and then he traveled to Haran, and then he came down into Canaan. He's been there roughly 65 years. That's a long time. The people of Canaan are a wicked people. They do all kinds of idol worship, and they do a lot of troubling things, sacrificing children to fire gods and such, and they're a wicked people. But he's been in this land for 65 years. And so what's going to happen is Abraham has sent his trusted servant to go and get a wife back in the land of Haran and find a wife amongst their relatives for Isaac, because he knows these people in Canaan are wicked. He's not going to get a wife for his son out of this wicked group of people. So he wants them to go back to the homeland amongst the family members and get a wife. So he sends this trusted servant. Now, some scholars believe his name was Eliezer, but we don't know because he's not named specifically. But he sends this servant to go travel 500 miles to go get a wife for Isaac. So this is an arduous journey of taking about a month to go. But there's a promise in it that he will find a wife for amongst the kinfolk for Isaac. So that he goes with this hope and promise. Now, here's where I want to talk to you and I for a minute before we get into the text. You ready for that? Because it's got to be applicable to our life, or else what are we doing here? If it doesn't have anything to do with us, what are we doing? So, you know, you and I, we are called, according to the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, to live by faith. The Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. If we want right standing with God, a good relationship with God, we have to learn to walk by faith, live by faith. Not just by sight, not by common sense. Those are good things, but by faith, which means we trust in the character of God and the promises of God. What has God promised us, and what is the character of God that I'm going to launch out in life for? You and I have to live this way if we want to please God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not unlikely, but impossible to please God without faith. So faith is like where you can't see exactly how this is going to work, but you are assured God has told you to do it, and you're trusting that he's a good, loving God, and he'll take care of you. These are the things you and I have to own if we're going to follow Christ. You have to have these. These are not non-essentials. These are essentials to living the right life. And so you and I have to trust in him even when we can't see how this is going to turn out. And oftentimes in the Bible, things go from bad to worse before God comes through and brings deliverance and victory. So don't go by your circumstances when I'm talking about this. Well, right now, Pastor, things don't look so great for me. Don't let that be your guide. What is the word of God said? What are his promises? And do you believe God loves you and he has good intentions for you? You got to have this, my friends. This is coming right from my heart. So we got to do this. And so in Habakkuk, it says the righteous shall live by faith. In Romans, in Galatians, in Hebrews, this is all through the Bible. The righteous shall live by faith. So here's another thought. Now, that's one thought. We all got that one down pretty good. You got to live by faith. Here's the second thought. God knows the beginning from the end. This is why in Matthew chapter 6, God says, why do you worry? Worry does you no good. God knows exactly how things are going to turn out. So when God speaks to you from a word of God, from the promises of the Bible, listen, my friends, it's already done. It's not, it might happen, it is already done. Well, how can that be? How can that be to us humans? Well, you and I, we live in real time, which means we only know what we know in the moment. But God looks down on time and he sees the beginning from the end. God, we learned in Genesis 1, was the creator of time. He's the creator of matter and he's the creator of space. All of it, time, space, and matter. He created it all. When he tells you something's going to happen, it's because he's already seen it happen. Because time is no limitation to God. So when God looks down on things that are happening in our world, in the universe, he already sees what's happened. So it's kind of like you and I, you know, when we're watching a football game or something, we're watching it on TV in real time. But God is already looks at it as if it's a videotape that he's already seen the end. He already knows how it's going to end. And so, my friends, there's no anxiety with God. Jesus Christ, he was distressed when he took on the pain and the burdens of us humanity, but he was not panicky because he knew exactly what was going to happen. He was going to die for our sins. He was going to be buried in the tomb, but he was going to rise from the dead and be victorious. There was no doubt about that. So when you and I start getting anxious and worried about things, we better get our Bible out and start praying and asking God to reveal how good he is and how he has it all under control. So God is going to give these promises to Abraham because God has already told Abraham that through his line of family, the world will be blessed, that there's going to be great things coming. So in Abraham's promise from God, he knows that there's going to be a wife for his son Isaac, and there's going to be children that are going to come from that, and the godly lineage of faith is going to go through his line all the way to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It's a sure thing. It's not a maybe. It's a sure thing. And so here I say all of that. I said all that babbling I just did. Do you know that God's promises to you are sure or not? Do you live with anxiety and worry? Are you on the edge all the time thinking, I wonder if this is going to turn out good for me or not? You got to ask yourself that. Do you live anxious? Do you toss and turn over things in life that are uncertain? Now, I'm asking you to do that. You know I'm not just up here talking. I mean, I want you to apply this to yourself. Listen, my friends, this is no braggy stuff. Like, I don't ever worry about the future. Like, my wife and I have been trying to buy a house, you know, and we've had all kinds of crazy stuff happen with this. Like, crazy stuff. We've had stuff happen where the realtor said, I've never seen this in 25 years. Ever. Ever even heard of this, okay? God's in control. He's working it all out. Let me assure you of that. What I toss and turn over is whether or not I've done things right in God's eyes. That's what keeps me up sometimes at night. When I lay around at night, I never worry about the future, and I never worry about, believe it or not, whether people like me. Because as lovable as I am, and I'm mighty lovable, there's people that don't like me. I never worry about that. But what I do toss and turn about at night is whether I've done things right in God's eyes. That bothers me a lot. Sometimes I'll lay in bed and replay the day and go, I don't know if I did that right. That'll keep me up. But not the future. That's in God's hands. He's already got it. It's done. I can't reverse it. I can't reverse what God's already decreed is going to happen. It's done. He's already seen it done. And nothing can stop God's purposes. Now, that's my intro. Now, we're going to go to the text. All right? We're picking up where this servant, possibly Eliezer of Abraham's, is giving a testimony to Bethuel, who is the son of Nahor, which was the brother of Abraham. So Abraham has a brother named Nahor. Then Nahor's died. Haran. And then, no, Nahor, I was right. This is what happens when you don't use notes. Okay, so you have Nahor. Then he has a son named Bethuel. And Bethuel has at least two kids, which are Laban, who we're going to talk about in another sermon, and Rebekah. So if you think about how that works is that, you know, Abraham, he's related to all these people. Those are like cousins removed and, you know, grandnephews and this kind of sort of thing, okay? But that's where he's going. So this is a testimony that we're going to read about. And then I'll kind of break it down as we go through this. This has already happened. So this servant has traveled 500 miles, possibly a month of travel, hard travel. And he gets there and he gets to Haran. And he meets Rebecca at a well, and he's recounting the story now when he's talking to Bethuel, Laban, and with Rebecca there and whoever else. So here we go, verse 45. You all with me? Did I confuse that and make that worse, or did that kind of... Sometimes when I'm trying to say this, I wonder if I made it worse and more confusing than it should be. All right, verse 45. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. Verse 46, she quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Well, now, listen, let's talk about that. So, you know, getting water was women's work back in the Bible times, women's work. And they would carry, women had to be stout, strong, because these pots, usually they were of clay, and they were very large, because you would have to go down in the morning to the well and get water for the family to cook and clean and take care of everything there. And then you'd come home, and then in the heat of the day, they usually stayed at the house. And then at night, you went a second time to get more water for the evening stuff, for the evening meal, evening bathing, evening everything. But these were big pots, because listen, sometimes they had to travel like a mile to get to that. So you and I, you know, like, well, I have to walk to the faucet and turn the faucet on. That's about the same thing. No, it's not. They had to walk a long ways carrying this pot. And maybe it was a little heavy on the way there, but can you imagine coming back with this pot that has maybe 25, 30 gallons of water in it, and you're carrying that on your shoulder or on your head or however you got to do it? These people were tough back then. Tough, strong. Sturdy, resilient. Life was hard throughout all of history. Life has been hard. We are a bunch of babies. You know that? We are a bunch of babies. Like when I was laying in bed last night and the electricity went off, I'm like, well, where's my fan? I need a breeze on me. I need a fan, right? Like a big baby. I mean, we have it so good. Life has been hard for most people all of history. So they would go down there in the morning and then in the evening and get this big bunch of water. So here's what happened. The servant with 10 camels full of stuff and his servants, probably who knows how many servants, but at least probably 10 servants, they came to Haran, and there was the well outside the city where everybody would come to get the water. And he's recounting, this is a testimony, recounting how when he pulled up in there, he was talking in his heart, speaking to God. Now, you've probably done that, haven't you? You've been in a situation around people where you were talking to God saying, oh, Lord, what's this all about? Or, Lord, would you come through here? Or, do you know what I'm talking about there? Like where you're not saying it out loud. You're just talking to the Lord. Do you know? Now, listen to this. The Lord hears that as well as if you were saying it out loud. When you and I talk from our heart to God, praying, thinking about Him, He sees that as much as if you were audibly saying it, because He's God. He knows the thoughts and intentions of every heart of every person on this planet, 8 billion. Nothing is hidden from Him. So when you're praying to God from your heart, he hears that. There's a time to confess with your mouth, certainly, like when you're for salvation and such, but he hears everything. So he was standing there. Now think about this. He comes up to the well, and here comes Rebecca, and she's got this pot, and she's going to get some water. You got to lower it down with a rope, and then you get the water, and you pull it back up again. Heavy, hard work. Every pot load of water, you got to pull it up with a rope, probably, because the water is usually deep. And so they're standing there. Here's these people with camels loads of stuff and Eliezer possibly, the servant. They're standing there watching this. And he's talking to God in his heart, saying, oh, Lord, is this the one? Is this the one that I came all this way, 500 miles traveling, probably a month of traveling to get to this location? You know, my wife and I, when we were younger, we used to like to camp a lot. We started out like most people do with a pup tent. And then we moved up to a big tent. And then we had a pop-up trailer that we pulled around. And we even had a pop-up trailer that Dave and Sherry Kyle gave us one time that we were using for camping around here in Illinois. But I'm going to tell you what, I can only camp for 2 or 3 days, and I'm out. I'm out. Like, okay, I've got enough mosquito bites. I've had a lot of sleepless nights, you know, and this and that. I'm trying to go home. Let's go home to air conditioning and comfort. But for this load of 10 camels and Eliezer and whoever he was with and all those people, they did this for like a month of traveling. Think of that, a month, 30 days of traveling, camping out at new places, always wondering if there were bandits that were going to attack you, somebody was going to rob you, kill you, because they were traveling with a lot of goods, a lot of money, a lot of riches. And by the way, if this guy was a little on the sketchy side, you know, that's a biblical term, sketchy. I think Pastor Nate has the Hebrew for that, you know, what the word sketchy is in Hebrew. You can ask him afterwards. But, you know, he could have taken off, right? How is old Abraham going to catch him? Old Abraham, you know, he's 140 years old. He ain't going to catch you. So he could have taken those 10 camel loads and said, hey, let's go start a new life. I'm tired of being a servant. Let me go ditch. We got a lot of wealth with us. Let's go somewhere else. But he did not do that. He was a faithful man. And he loved Abraham and his family. So they get there, and they're just watching this. He's talking in his heart. He says, before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. Now, that was the whole thought going on here. And it says, so he speaks to her. He says, please let me drink. Now, that was his test. It was like a fleece before God. Like, whoever I say this to, the way they respond is going to reveal to me whether this is the chosen one for God to give to Isaac as a wife. Okay, so it's a test. Not the best way as a Christian to decide God's will. I want you to know that. Don't think that as a Christian, the best way to know what God wants is to do these fleece tests. Like, well, God, if the sun goes back 30 degrees, I'll buy that. Don't test God that way. We as believers have the Holy Spirit in us and the Word of God to help us make decisions. We don't need fleece tests. But you got to understand, in this time in history, there was no Bible. No Bible. Abraham has very few resources, and the servant had very few resources compared to you and I about discerning God's will. So before I had finished speaking, in my heart, behold, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder, went down to the spring, drew, and I said to her, please give me drink. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Now, there were 10 camels. Most camels drink a minimum of 25 gallons of water when they drink. They can drink up to like 50 gallons if they're really thirsty. But they drink at least 25. So I want you to think about this. She provides water for 10 camels, each of them getting 25 gallons each one of them can drink. That's like 5 bathtubs full of water that she provides. So she gives a drink to not only to the servant and all of the men that traveled with him, but all these camels. So this is like a huge undertaking. Who would do that for somebody they don't know? Some stranger that came in town. Who would do that? Well, a woman who had a servant's heart, a woman who knew how to bless people. And that's who Isaac and Abraham wanted for a wife for Isaac, is somebody with a good heart. She's going to turn out to be a beautiful woman. That's important. But, you know, that seems to be all our society cares about. You ever notice that, how shallow and vain we are? And, you know, the Bible speaks of that in Proverbs 31. Beauty is vain and charm is deceitful, but a woman who fears the Lord, she's greatly to be praised, the Proverbs 31 woman. We are missing in America today, just a little commentary, the whole issue of character, integrity, and kindness, and being able to serve. These are important qualities that carry you through life. Appearances come and go. Appearances can be greatly altered in a moment's accident. Something bad happens and a person's physical appearance can be marred for the rest of their life, but their character, their integrity, that's where the action is. That's what carries you through life. And so the servant is testing to see if this is a woman of character who knows how to serve, knows how to bless, who would be a great wife for Isaac. And she's going to pass this test with flying colors. She quickly, not, well, let me talk about this. Let me think about this. Let me pray about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow, right, about whether I should water your camels. No, right away, she goes right at it because she's that type of person. You know, the response people give to you when you ask them just to do something to help you tells a lot, doesn't it, about that? If they hem and haw and, well, I don't know, I'm kind of busy today, I really can't help you. You know, you just got to be picking up on these signs in life. But she quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Now, that took some time. She had to get that pot full of water and carry it to the camels and let them drink one at a time, 10 camels. This didn't happen in like 2 minutes. This probably took an hour or so for this to happen. And what's the servant doing? He's watching. He's watching her attitude, whether or not she's going to grumble and complain about it. Have you ever done this, my friends? Have you ever taken on a task to help somebody and pretty soon you found out it was a far harder task than you hoped? And pretty soon you find yourself grumbling, like especially helping somebody move. You ever done that one? Oh, sure, I'll help you move. We did this one time. I went to help somebody move, and we show up at their house, and they hadn't even packed a box. So we're standing there. There was a whole bunch of us. We're standing there like, they haven't got anything ready. So we got to stand around and wait while they pack the boxes and help them pack the boxes, and they knew they were going to move for a week. You didn't get ready for this? That's frustrating. And it took like 5 times longer than it should have to move their goods because they did no preparation. So I'm sitting there like, I'm like, what did I get myself into here? That can happen, can it not? But she's not a grumbler or a complainer. She's got no reason to feed or water all these camels. Why is she doing that? She's got a good heart. She's got a good heart and she's a person of integrity. So this was the test. Then it says in verse 47, then I asked her. Now, this, again, this is in past tense. This has already happened. And this is a testimony that the servant is telling to Bethuel, Laban, in front of the family. This is the testimony. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son. So Nahor's the father, then Bethuel, then he's the father of her, whom Milcah bore to him. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. That's a little forward, isn't it? Like, are you thinking about it? It's like, wait, come on over here. Let me grab your nose and stick this ring on your nose. But, you know, in certain cultures, they wear nose rings, right? But I can't imagine that. Can you imagine some lady you don't know and you're sticking a ring on her nose? Seems a little forward, but customs are different from place to place. I'm just telling you what jumped out at me in the text. Jumped out at me. Well, that was forward. So I put a ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist. Well, that's not so bad, you know, because they were gold and all that. Verse 48, and I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Right then and there, at the well, at the spring, he bowed low and started worshiping. Now, here's a thought. I want you to think about this again. Do you love Jesus enough that you would worship him whether or not people around you approve? Like, how deep is your worship for God? I can remember when I was pretty new in the Lord and I was worshiping at a church and there were some snotty teenagers. Now, not all teenagers are snotty, right? There's good teenagers, bad. It's a mixed bag. But these were snotty teenagers. And they were making fun of me. They were making fun of me because I was lifting my hands to the Lord and they were mocking me. And it really perturbed me and disrupted my worship. I was like, you guys, you know, what's that? What is that? And it upset my worship of God because I saw them mocking me. And it really bothered me. I was new in the Lord, and so it was not like now. It didn't happen last week, okay, just so you know. But it wouldn't happen in this church. But, I mean, it's just like, oh, this was a long time ago. And I was like, God, you know, this servant didn't care what these people believed. He didn't know what they believed. He just bowed low in front of them and worshiped God and thanked God. And it's just a great testimony of having that kind of faith and love for God that you don't care who's watching and what they think. Isn't that a good sign to have? Like, you don't care. I'm going to testify, and I'm going to honor my God, and I don't care what any of you think. I'm going to do it. That's a good place to be, right? You're going to give God glory. So that's what he did. Now, he's telling the story of what he did. This is still at the spring or the well out there outside of town. Then it goes on to verse 49. So now, this is the servant talking. Now, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, let me know that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Well, that was the instruction that Abraham gave the servant. He says, if they won't let her go, you're free from this vow. But if they do let her go, then you got to take her back. You know, bring her back to Isaac, okay? Now, I want you to understand, he's traveled, remember, about a month? A month of sleeping in the dirt, a month of traveling with camels. Can I tell you that camels don't smell real good? They're stinky. Camels spit, and they're just stinky animals. Yeah, if you're going to travel through the desert, you definitely want a camel. You don't want to be walking. But they're not clean animals. I mean, when I read this and I think about all the things I know about animals and travel, I'm like, this was a hard trip. This was not easy. And he's put a month into this. And now he's arrived. It's the same day. And a lot is riding at the moment. And you know how it is when things are riding in the moment. Us as people, we tend to want to, help God out a little bit. Maybe compromise. Maybe do something that'll make it work better. Do you all know what I'm talking about? Rather than just let God decide. Because he's come to this point. It's a crucial point. He's telling the family what he was there for. He's telling them about the mission he's on. And it's a crucial point. And they could have said to him, nah, we already promised Rebecca to somebody else. Too late. Day late, dollar short. Right? That old expression. Day late, dollar short. Too bad. Nope. He's going to just lay it out there and let God be God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, make this work or not work. My friends, if you and I have to rely on schemes and ploys to get things done, we're not in faith. You can either live your life by faith in God and trust in him, knowing that whether it's going to happen or not has already been determined by God. He's already seen the future. He knows what's going to happen. Or are you going to help God along and scheme and plot and make it happen by your power? This is a test for all of us of faith, whether or not we rely on scheming or faith in God's decisions. Is it not? I see some of you don't believe that. Because listen, if you got to rely on manipulation of others to get things done, you're not a person of faith. Oh, that sounds so judgy, Pastor. You're being very judgy. No, that's it. Either you trust in the Lord and you do the right thing and you speak honestly and truthfully and you do the right thing and then let God decide, or you don't. You're doing something else. And if you're doing something else, you're not a person of faith. Hear me clearly. You're a schemer. You're a manipulator. You're a person who operates by the flesh. I'm not saying whether or not you're a Christian or not, because Christians can mess up greatly. But you're surely not living by faith. And remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the righteous shall live by faith. It doesn't say in the Bible, the righteous shall live by schemes. The righteous shall live by manipulation. The righteous shall live by self-will. No, you'll live by faith. And faith is letting God be God in your circumstances. Either you do it or you don't. I'm just saying, this is for all of us, myself included. We let things just, let God be God, or are we helping him? Kind of like what Sarah did with Hagar and bringing Hagar in to be a wife and have kids through Hagar. But that didn't go so well. And almost every time in the Bible, anytime people try to help God along, it doesn't go well. It does not. So here we are. He says, let me know. Let me know that I may turn to the right hand or left. He's leaving it to God. Then Laban, the brother of Rebekah, and Bethuel, the father of Rebekah, who seems to be kind of infirm because he's not really, it seems like Laban is the decision maker here. So, Haran, the father, Nahor, and Haran, they're dead. They're long gone. Bethuel seems to be a little bit on the infirm side. So Laban's kind of taking the lead here. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Here is Rebekah. This is verse 51. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. I don't hear Rebekah saying this is what she wants. Do you? Does it say anything about Rebekah saying, I want to go with him. I want to do it right, like right now, at this point. She will say that. But at this point, back in the times of these Bible times, wives were like arranged marriages. They didn't have a lot of say. And they're still practiced in the world today. Arranged marriages are still a thing in certain countries. The parents decide. But so here it's the brother and the dad are making this decision for Rebecca's sake. Well, yeah, that sounds good. Here, take her and go. Now, we don't know if they were dazzled by all the wealth and stuff that came in their way. We don't know. Here is Rebecca before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. Verse 52, when Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. Not ashamed. Bowed in front of this family, bowed. You know, we don't do a lot of that here in America. You ever bow to anybody? Bow? Not so much, right? I mean, we're talking about bowing, get prostrate on the ground, you know, that type of stuff, right? Yeah, not so much. I could go further with that, but I'll stop. I'll refrain myself. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Now, that's not talking about precious moments figurines, if you know what those are. We're talking about like valuable stuff, jewels, emeralds, rubies, you name it, whatever. Precious, expensive things that would be a blessing to them and make them rich. Make them rich. Verse 54, then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. So now it's all in that first day. They met down by the water at the well or the spring, and then now he's spending the night with them. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, this is 55, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterward she may go. Well, you know, that seems reasonable, doesn't it, to like say goodbye? Like, you know, Rebecca that morning was just going to fetch some water. And now she's going to go live 500 miles away with some people she's never really met before in her life. Because remember, Abraham has been in Canaan like 65 years. Rebecca is likely a teenager. We don't know her age from this, but she's likely a teenager, young. She doesn't know these people. You're going to get on this caravan and go travel 500 miles and live with people you don't know? How's this going to go for you? She doesn't know. There's faith involved. There's faith. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that, you know, in this life, now this is Paul, this is the New Testament, this is Paul the Apostle. He's saying, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. In this life, my friends, if you refuse to act on God or take a step of faith without knowing all the answers and how it's going to work out, you'll never do anything. We see in this life dimly. We see things kind of murky. We look for God's clear will from the Word of God and from prayer, and we trust in His character that He loves us and He's going to do good things for us, but we still have to step out in faith, kind of not knowing how it's going to turn out. And if it wasn't that way, it would not require faith, would it? Now, you're not all checked out. I'm almost done. But I'm trying to bring it home here, folks. Like, if you got to have all the answers and see, okay, I'll do this and this will happen, then I'll do this and this will happen, and it's going to all be a nice orderly sequence, that's no faith involved in that. The righteous shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to trust in God's provision, His providence, His sovereignty, His rule, that He knows the beginning from the end. You got to trust in His character and move, even though you can't see how this is going to work out. You got to do that. You got to do it, and I got to do it, if we want to please the Lord, if we want to honor Him. So, you know, this is her life. This is Rebecca's got to make the choices. You know, for Laban and Bethuel, they're just going to get a bunch of riches. And they were going to marry their daughter off anyways, right? That's what they do. So this is a pretty good deal for them. Like, oh, well, we're going to stay home and bring on the gold and the jewels, right? We just stay here, and you're going to make us rich. But she's taking the risk. Rebecca is the one that's got to go on with these people that she doesn't know. She just met them the day before. And she's going to go on a 500-mile trip. There's a lot of faith there for Rebecca. So we know she's got faith, too. Not only has she got integrity of her heart, good character, but she's also got faith. So when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Because he's excited. He's going to go home and get to bring Rebecca. Verse 55. Well, let me go back to 54. When he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night, you know that was kind of a party, correct? That was a party. They're like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, like, because he just unloaded a bunch of jewels on them. It's a happy day, right? If I showed up at your house, like what were the sweepstakes that used to have, the clearinghouse? Public, and I said, here, I got $200,000 for you. You just won. We'd probably have a pretty good party, right, at your house. Break out the good crackers or something for that. That's kind of what happened to them. They showed up, and they all these riches. And Rebecca's going to get married off to family. This is a win-win-win for them. So they're probably having a good old party that night. That's what I'm guessing. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Verse 55, but her brother and her mother said, not the dad, not Bethuel. This is Laban and the mother now talking. Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterward she may go. He said to them, verse 56, do not delay me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. No hesitation. It's time to move. Can I tell you there's a time to move in your life when God has spoken? You have been given a word of His provision. There's a promise from Scripture. The Spirit of God is telling you to move. You got to move. If you don't move, you're in disobedience. Delayed action when God speaks is disobedience, my friends. Maybe God's been working on you for a while about getting saved and born again and forgiven. And you keep putting it off. I'm going to tell you one thing straight up. The devil is all good with that. He doesn't mind you being at church because, unfortunately, in churches today, there's a lot of hypocrites, phonies, and there's some bad teaching going on out there. So the devil is not all opposed to you going to church. He just doesn't want you to find Jesus. So he's going to try and get you to put off what you know you should do. Don't be that way. If you know you're supposed to do something, do it. In the Epistle of James, it says, to him who knows what is right and does not do it, to him it is sin. Sin. If you know what you're supposed to do, do it. If you're not, then you're in disobedience and sin. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. So if you've been having an unction from God, like a conviction, a feeling from him, like, I need to do this, well, then you better do it. Don't delay it any longer. You don't know if you got it tomorrow. I'll tell you what I live by. I don't want to face God with unfinished business. So every day I want to kind of wrap it up, and make sure that if I have to meet him that night, I will be ready to meet him. That's how you got to live. So he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. Verse 57, and they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Well, finally they're going to consult with her. They said, then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Well, wait a minute. What about doing a background check? Right? How about go to your resume, guys. We don't know who you are. She's going to go. Now, listen, her family's pretty happy. They got all that wealth. You know, they just dumped 10 camel loads of goods on them. So they were pretty happy about this. But she says, I'll go. I'll go. Thus they sent away their sister, Rebecca, and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. Off they go. 500 miles, though. Not off they go, jump in the car, and they get there that afternoon. This is a 500-mile journey she has to make on camel to get to where she's going to live. Not knowing what this guy's going to look like. Maybe he looked like Quasimodo. Right? Does she know anything about her future husband? Do you all know what Quasimodo is? Hunchback of Notre Dame? See, I got all these references probably nobody knows about, right? Nobody, like, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I grew up with Hunchback of Notre Dame type stories and such. But she doesn't even know what this guy looks like. And she's going to go. Faith. She has faith. And she's going to do it now. No, let's wait. Let's compromise. My dad wants me to stay 10 days. You want to go now? How about 5 days? Let's compromise. No. So I got to ask you something. Is there something in your life that you've been putting off? God has provided for you. He's given you unction to take some, to respond to him. Are you doing it or not doing it? I don't know what that is. Now, the number one most important thing is your salvation. It's number one over all things. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. Maybe you've been coming to church for a short time. But you know inside, something's wrong. I am not right with the Lord. And my sins are not for sure forgiven. I do not have Jesus reigning and ruling in my life, in my heart, in my mind. He's just not there. And you're just putting it off. Putting it off, hoping that maybe tomorrow, maybe next week I'll do that. Don't do that anymore. Respond to God. Respond like Rebecca did. Yes, I will go. Yes, I will act. Yes, I will be all in. See, this is a great example. And God's provision was already there. It was all set. Like, I don't think there was any chance that she wasn't going to be at the water at the same time that the servant showed up. It was all decreed by God. It was all in his order. And how many times has the Lord done that in your life and my life where some things have had just incredible timing? It's not like what I grew up in, being told it was luck. Have you ever heard that one? Boy, you sure are lucky, Gary. Lucky Gary. That's just dumb luck. Dumb luck that you got that. That's what I grew up with. Everything was luck by sheer chance and coincidence. It's not that way if you're a person of faith. You know that the Lord reigns and rules over the universe. That Matthew chapter 6 is true. That he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows every sparrow that drops to the ground. He's in control of all things, and you can trust him because he is good. And he has decreed certain things, and he has provided certain things, and now it's our job to respond and say, yes, I'm in, Lord. Here am I, I'm in. Is there something like that in your life? Salvation that you've been putting off? Maybe reconciling on a matter? Maybe it's just being obedient in a matter? I don't know what it is, but the Lord does, and you should too. So let's pray that the Lord reveal it to us, respond to him, worship team will close us. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that everybody in here today knows you, loves you, and wants to serve you. That we've all in here today been born again by the Spirit of God, by your grace. You have called us unto salvation. We belong to you. But I realize that it's very possible there may be somebody here today or somebody watching the video on YouTube, and they are not born again. That's the number one concern of their soul, because that is an eternal matter. And it determines whether or not they go to heaven or go to hell. There's no in-between, heaven or hell. And my prayer today would be if there's one person uncertain of their destiny as far as salvation, that they would settle it today, remedy it today, call on Jesus Christ to be their Lord and their Savior, repenting of their sin, repenting of being self-willed, surrendering to your love, to your purposes, to your goodness, surrendering their very soul to you, and calling on the name of Jesus Christ, believing he died on the cross. Yes, he was buried and put in a tomb, but that could not hold him. He rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and he's coming back. If anybody is not prepared to meet the judge of all people, the Lord Jesus Christ, may they settle it today and call on him and be forgiven and set free from the bondage of the sin and the devil and the death, worry of death and fear of death that traps humanity. May they be set free today and become a child of the King, born again, saved forever. Oh, Lord, would you do that great act of kindness? They're going to have to respond by your grace. They're going to have to respond and say, yes, that's me. I've been putting it off. I've been putting it off a long time, but I'm ready. Save me today. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me your own. And the Bible says those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved in Romans. I pray that, number one, for everybody. And then there's a very high possibility that some of us in this sanctuary or watching the video, we're kind of delaying some things we know we ought to do. We're not acting in faith. We're not living righteously. We're not doing the very thing you put your Spirit in us to give us unction to do. May we repent of that today also and just trust you and obey you and follow you and let you rule in our situation and our circumstances. It could be financial. It could be relational. It could be some health change we need to make. I don't know what it is, Lord, but you sure do. And I pray that your grace would be upon all of us to make sure we act upon what you're trying to relay to us and teach us and reveal to us. May we act in faith. Lord, may you rule and reign in each one of us. May you be glorified in each one of us. May we grow in intimacy and fellowship with you daily. Help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.